Good morning and welcome to Rabbi Sachs's Sunday morning shiur. This morning the shiur is being sponsored by Mrs. Elizabeth Small and by Cheryl and Elliot Small and family, and it's in memory of Saul David Small, Rav Shalom David Ben Nachum Eliyahu Halevi. May the learning that we do this morning have an aliyah for his neshama, the Chavi Gadol Rav Sachs.
The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tes cites two very different sukkim in order to characterize the Kedusha Sayom of Rosh Hashanah. One pasuk is that of Yom Shur, as the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah in Parshas Pinchas, and the other pasuk is Zichron Shur, what we find in Parshas Emor. Yom Shur, we certainly understand that it's a day which is filled with Tkiyah Shofar, and Zichron Shur seems to highlight the significance, the remembrance, the impression of the mitzvah of Shofar. And the Gemara initially suggests that perhaps it's referring to when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, as opposed to when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls out on any other day of the week other than Shabbos, and of course, Yom Shur. It's a day in which you sound the Shofar. Rosh Hashanah Shachalios v'Shabbos, there is no Shofar, and therefore, Zichron Shur, as we even recite in the davening, that very term, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. The Gemara immediately asks the obvious question, and that is, if this really is true, that Min HaTorah Yom Shur, Zichron Shur, and therefore Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos, there is no Tkiyah Shofar, doesn't that indicate that that is the halacha Min HaTorah? And if that is true, it should apply everywhere, categorically. No Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. And as the Gemara comments, that certainly is not true. In the Beis HaMikdash, they would sound the Shofar always on Rosh Hashanah, even when Rosh Hashanah would fall on Shabbos itself. So how can you argue that that is the meaning of the pasuk of Zichron Shur, where sometimes yes and other times no? So the Gemara writes that no, that is not true. That in principle, you always sound the shofar, even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. The reason we do not do so is only a gzeira d'rabba, a concern. If we will fulfill the mitzvah of shofar on Shabbos, shema yaver d'aramos v'shus harabim, a person may come to carry. It is more important to safeguard the kedusha sayam of Shabbos, even at the expense of the mitzvah of shofar, and therefore midrabanan, we refrain from tkiyah shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. This is one of the unusual examples. The sugi of Yesh Koch Yachachamim Lakor Dovin in a Torah, where the Chachamim have a right literally to uproot a Torah obligation. If that's true, it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, then you understand very well why in Mikdash that does not necessarily apply. Very often, Isuri D'Rabbanan are lifted in the Mikdash, and therefore they would be Tokeh the Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But the Gemara then seems to leave a critical question hanging, and that is as follows. If Min HaTorah, Rosh Hashanah is always considered to be a Yom Shur, and you always blow shofar, even on Shabbos, how then do you account for the two psukim? Yom Shur we certainly understand, but what about that earlier pasuk in Parsha Zemor of Zichron Shur? What exactly is its significance? And here Rav Soloveitchik stated the following, that you know, apparently it is not referring to two different times when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos as opposed to weekday, but rather two different kiyumim, two different aspects, two different elements to the mitzvah of Shofar. One element clearly is Yom Shur, but also there is an additional aspect, and that is Zichron Shur. And that can be understood as follows. You see, the mitzvah Hashem can be divided into two very different categories. There are certain times when what we term the Maisa HaMitzvah, the act, and the Kiyum HaMitzvah, its fulfillment, are one and the same. They are synonymous. When it comes to the mitzvah, for example, of Achilas Matzah, when a person eats a kazayis of matzah, he fulfills the mitzvah in HaTorah of the Erev Tochlu Matzos. Matzah is a clear example where the Maisa HaMitzvah, the Kiyum HaMitzvah go hand in hand. But yet there's a second category of mitzvah, so there is not necessarily the case. Of course the Torah will prescribe a given act, a Maisa HaMitzvah, but that is insufficient. The purpose of the Maisa HaMitzvah is a tool to lead to a certain response. When it comes, for example, to Simcha, the mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv, no doubt the Torah tells us there are various ways of fulfilling the mitzvah of Simcha. The Gemara tells us in Arvei Pesachim that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar. Simcha means ascending to the Beis HaMikdash and participating, consuming Bisar HaKarbanos V'Zavach Tashlame V'Achal Tasham V'Samach Talifnei Hashem Elokecha. Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara writes that Ein Simcha Ela Beyayin. Without a Beis HaMikdash, Simcha is fulfilled in other ways. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yantiv, that phrase we're so familiar with, but it doesn't seem to be exactly that which the Gemara says, of Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar Beyayin. The Gemara presents it as two different tracks. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Ben Bisar HaKarbanos Bizman HaZeh Ben Yayin. But the Rambam elaborates in Perek Vav on the various ways that one will attempt to elicit a certain sense of Simcha. Having Achila Ushtia Isudas Yantef, that is part of the mitzvah of Simcha. But undeniably, whether it's Bisar HaKarbanos or whether it is a Sudas Yantef, whether it is Shtias Yayin, but clearly that is a tool, that's a vehicle, that's a means to an end. If a person, for example, would partake of a Sudas Yantef, but he would be absolutely miserable during Yantif. A person would be in a depressed state of mind. Would you argue that he really is fulfilling the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif? You can go through the motion. But Simcha certainly is an emotive quality that one feels belayed. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, the same as Rachman Litzlan, when it comes to Avelus. There are many aspects of Nihuge Avelus, the do's and the don'ts of an Avel, but yet the Mishnah tells us Ein Aninus Ella Belev, that real aninos is an internal feeling that one senses at that particular time. The same is true when it comes to Kriya Shema, when it comes to Tefillah. If someone was to ask you, what is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, you would argue the recitation of the words, the parshios of the Shema. But yet, what is the Kiyam HaMitzvah? Isn't the Kiyam of Kriya Shema Kabbalah Samachu Shamayim, acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech? Tefillah, no doubt, has a Maisa HaMitzvah, but Reb Chaim explains the essence of tefillah is Amida Lifnei Hashchina. And therefore, in the second category of mitzvahs, even though there is a Maisa HaMitzvah, but yet its purpose is to evoke a certain sense, a certain response, a certain emotive quality, and there you find a difference between a Maisa HaMitzvah as opposed to a Kiyum HaMitzvah. But the Reichik argued as follows, that Yom Shui Elachem, that emphasizes the Maisa HaMitzvah. It's a day which is filled with Tkiya Shofar. Why is it necessary to have the pasuk of Zichron Trua? That emphasizes the response, the quality of Tkiya Shofar. It's necessary to hear the kolos, but it's not sufficient. That's not enough. The kolos have to register, they have to evoke a certain response, a certain sense of significance. The Rambam writes that Afal Pishat Tkiya Shofar Rosh Hashanah Gzeiros HaKosuv, but yet Remez Yeshbu Uri Yeshena Mishen Aschem. The Rambam writes you'll blow, you'll hear the tkolos, but it has to awaken the individual to the call of Tshuva. And perhaps that is the meaning of the two psukim, not two different times, the two very different elements of Tkiya Shofar. The need for Yom Shua, but also that the kolos have to impact, and that is Zichron Shua. Well, Soloveitchik pointed out the following potential difference, and that is the sugir Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches of mitzvos tzrichos or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. You know the machlokas Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim, the machlokas Amaraim, Rabbah, and Rav Zeira, the machlokas Rishonim, how to paskin, whether minimally would you fulfill a mitzvah based on its performance alone, but one that lacks proper kavana salev. So the Rambam writes, Paragvav v'choschametz ha-matzah, kafuhu v'ocho matzah yatzah. You eat the kazayis of matzah, without even realizing at the time that through this I'm fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem of be'erev tochlu matzos. The Rambam writes that you are yatzah. And yet, surprising, when it comes to tkiya shofar, the Rambam writes differently in Parakleis of Ochel Shofar. The Rambam writes that you'll hear the sounds of the shofar, but Kavana Salev is considered to be critical. And therefore, the obvious question raised by the son of the Rambam, Rav Rambam Ben Oshel Rambam, found in Magid Mishnah, How do you resolve that apparent contradiction? In the Rambam, when do we assume mitzvos trichos? When do we assume mitzvos ein trichos kavanos? The Rejik suggested as follows. When you have a case like matzah, category one, maisa mitzvah, kim ha-mitzvah, are the same, then you understand very well that b'di'evet a person could be yotzei even if he merely performs the mitzvah alone. But when you have those other cases where the maisa mitzvah is a tool in order to elicit a certain response, imagine tefillah without kavana, imagine kriya shema without kabbalah samalchus shamayim, imagine just simply having your suda but not registering the impact, the significance, the purpose of simcha, in such a case, would you still say, yes, the person is yotzei? Or would you argue that in that quality of mitzvah there, the kavanah slave is considered to be that which is critical? And if that is true, perhaps that is the resolution. When it comes to shofar, if the Torah would only highlight yom truah, one could argue, yes, it is a yom truah without Kavana Saleh, but Zichron Shua, without Kavana Saleh, the impression, the meaning, the remembrance of Shofar, that is felt, even a person doesn't even realize that what he is hearing is because it is a Mitzvah Hashem, and perhaps that is why the Rambam writes that Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavana, when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar. In a word, the Mitzvah of Shofar is not merely a Maisa Mitzvah, but it's part of the Avodah Shebelev of Yom HaZikaron, of Rosh Hashanah. It is part of the kiyum of tefillah. Just as tefillah is avodah shebelev, the same thing is true of zichron shuah, when it comes to the days of Rosh Hashanah. Not coincidental at all that we find tekiyah shofar al seder habrachos. It would be somewhat unusual for us somehow to pause in the middle of davening and to eat matzah. We don't see the immediate link between matzah and tefillah. We go home after the tefillah is concluded and then we start our seder and then we have the mitzvah of achilas matzah. But not at all unusual that we express the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar al seder habrachos. The incorporation of tekiyah shofar within the framework, the context, the structure of our tefillah indicates that link, the inherent connection between tefillah sayom and tekiyah shofar itself, and therefore the ikar mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, the tekiyos, which are indeed al seder habrachos, accompanied by the malchias sichronos and shofros. You know, it's quite striking when you look throughout the Gemara, all through the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you never find an overt reference to the bracha recited on tekiyah shofar. And in fact, a fundamental machlokas rishonim, what is the bracha that you recite on shofar? Our practice, based on the Rambam, is to recite the bracha of Bishmoa Kol Shofar. Rabbeinu Tam maintains that's incorrect. The bracha is either two versions of Rabbeinu Tam, Litzkoa B'Shofar or Altkir Shofar. The Rosh discusses this at length in Rosh Hashanah Perek Dalet Simen Yud and Sukkim Perek Aleph Simen Yud. The Sugim Sukkim Adav Zayin that discusses Berachas HaMitzvah and various mitzvahs, never any mention of a bracha on Tkiyah Shofar. So no doubt, it's somewhat striking. You learn an entire Masechta about so many details of Rosh Hashanah and never does the Gemara make a reference to the bracha that you recite at that time. But Balamor writes, Daf Yud and Daf Yarif in Rosh Hashanah, that you know what? There was never a bracha on the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. Doesn't the Gemara speak of in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin the Tkiyos Dimiyushav and the Tkiyos Dimiyumad? What are those Tkiyos? So the Balamor writes the following, not what we're used to thinking. The Tkiyos Dimiyushav are the first kolos that are sounded in Rosh Hashanah, which are the Tkiyah Shofar in the framework of Shmon Esrei. The Tkiyah Shofar of Musaf, that was the first time we would hear the Kol Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Those were the Tkiyos Dimiyushav. The Tkiyos Dimiyumad were the Tkiyah Shofar at the very conclusion of davening, literally when one is up and about to leave the shul because the davening has now concluded. In other words, according to the Balamor, the first kolos you would hear were kolos within the structure, the framework of the Shmon Esrei, and therefore the Balamor writes, of course there was no bracha. The Malchias Sichronos and Shofros, the brachos of the tefillah served as a birchas hamitzvah for the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. And therefore, of course, the Gemara never acknowledges any bracha. The Gemara never tells us a text for the bracha because there was never a bracha on the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. The Balamor explains that in later times, in the times of the Gaonim, the following problem surfaced, and that was that people would come to shul bright and early. Of course, everyone was on time for davening, and you know, if a person had to leave early, they could be in shul for hours and not even hear a single call of the shofar. And people who left the davening earlier because it was necessary to do so would not even hear the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. And therefore, to solve that problem, later, post Chasimas HaTalmud, the Chachamim instituted an early tkiyah shofar. Let's blow 30 kolos now. After laning, before Musaf, at least everyone will have an opportunity to hear the entire set of tkiyah shofar. And that was a novelty. Tkiyah shofar outside of the framework of Shmoneh Esrei. And if you're now sounding the shofar outside of that context, now you have to recite a bracha. And hence the machlokes gonim and rishonim. What is the appropriate bracha to recite at this time? Lishmoa, tkiya, al tkiya, litzkoa. What is the proper nusach bracha? But this was never found at all in the time of the Gemara. A fascinating parallel. The Rush quotes in the very beginning of Masechus Brachos the view of Rav Amram Gaon. We don't write a recite or brichas hamitzvah on kriyashma. Why not? Because the Birchas Kriyashma, the Tila, serves as a Birchas HaMitzvah for the Mitzvah of Kriyashma. And Ramam goes as far as to assume that we don't maintain the Halacha, that if for whatever reason you are reciting Kriyashma outside of the framework of Birchas Kriyashma, you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. Whether davening is very late and you're reciting Kriya Shema before davening, whether davening is very early for Ma'arav and you're repeating Kriya Shema later at night, you have to recite a separate Birchas HaMitzvah. We don't assume that that in fact is true, but the Balam Arai says that's the case when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar itself. But a fascinating possibility, the Brachos of Tefillah serve as a Birchas HaMitzvah for the Mitzvah of Shofar undeniably. That indicates the inherent link between the Tefillah Sayom, the Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, and the Mitzvah of Shofar. The Gemara in fact writes in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav that the proper shape of the Shofar is that a Shofar should be curled, it should be kofuf. Why is that true? The Gemara writes, because after all, koma dekaye finish date ma'alei tvei. Because after all, it's preferable for a person to be bent. A person to be bent, Rashi writes one word, b'tfilaso. When a person davens, you don't daven in an erect position, you daven somewhat bent, and the shape of the shofar parallels a person who is engaged in tefillah. And that is the link of the tefillah sayom with that of shofar. We've often mentioned that some mitzvahs are bound by the principle of a mitzvah haba bi'aver. One cannot go ahead and perform a mitzvah through, right, the performance of an avera. A lulav hagozo, one would not be yotzei, the sugya in sukkah daf chavtes. After all, how can you fulfill the mitzvah of dalet minim through the vehicle of gezel? And Tosfos is very bothered in sukkah daf tes. When do we apply this principle of mitzvah b'aver? Does it apply to all mitzvahs? Does it only apply to a certain class of mitzvahs? Tosfos writes the name of the Ritva, the family chiddush, that you know what? That mitzvah b'aver does not apply to all mitzvahs. It only applies to mitzvahs haba'os l'ratzos. It only applies to a mitzvah which has an element of ritzui, supplication. That we are attempting to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a particular mitzvah, and we do it through the tool of an avera. Where in the Gemara do you find a mitzvah about the avera when it comes to karban, a karban hagozel, veveisem gozel esatiseh esachol, a person who goes there and offers a karban, and he steals an animal in order to go ahead and to offer a karban lifnei Hashem. So in such a case, certainly an appropriate one would not fulfill the mitzvah of karban at all. When it comes to dalet minim, the Gemara has mitzvah haba bi'avera. That seems to indicate as well that lulav and esrog is not just a mitzvah netila, simply to take the dalet minim, but it's part of the tefillah sayom. Not surprising. Don't we incorporate the dalet minim into our tefillah sayom? Don't we have hallel and hoshanos and nanuim? Doesn't that indicate that yes, there's a clear link between tefillah and dalet minim? When it comes to matzah, not necessarily. After all, the Rishami maintains that indeed, that questions whether one could be yotze. With a case of matzah gzula, Rishonim debate whether matzah gzula really is a problem of mitzvah haba bi'avera. Tosfos writes that Isuka Gzula is invalid, not because of Nitzavah Be'Avera, but rather because of a Pasuk. Chakasukos Tasulachol Achol Hotzi Yesen Gzula. Why do you need a Pasuk? The Ritva writes, because it's not a mitzvah which is Bola Ratzos. It's a mitzvah of Yeshiva, the Sukkah, but it doesn't have that element of Tefillah, of Ritzui. Mitzvah Bavir only applies to a class of mitzvahs, the Ritva writes, the name of Tosu, which is Ba Laratzos. And what about when it comes to Tekir Shofar? The Yerushalmi writes, in principle, Mitzvah Bavir should apply to Shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah which is Ba Laratzos. There's an element of Ritzui, there's a Kima Tfila associated with Shofar, just like Hakrava Sakrabanos. The Yerushalmi writes, now this position may know by the Rambam, technically speaking, you could be yotzei with the shofar hagozel, but for a very different reason. And that is as follows: that in order to label something as a mitzvah ba'be'avera, the avera has to relate directly to the object of the mitzvah, the chetzah shel mitzvah. The Rambam writes, what is the mitzvah of shofar? The mitzvah is shmias hakol, hearing its sound. And the Rambam writes, the ein bekol din gezel, the sound was not stolen. The shofar was stolen. A fascinating distinction of the Rambam. If the mitzvah would be one of tkiya, you would not be yotzei because the mitzvah of be'avera. If it's a mitzvah of shmias hakol, ein bekol din gezel, and therefore the more indirect relationship of the gezel and the mitzvah, that is insufficient. But in principle, the Rambam is clear that mitzvah of be'avera should in fact apply. In other words, that tkiya shofar is mitzvah which is indeed Va Laratzos. The Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah Chabad that Tkiya Shofar is comparable to the Avodas Kohen Gadol Lifnai V'Lifnim. The Gemara says, Kevin L'Zikar Nasi, K'Lifnim Dami. It's comparable to Avodas Ve'Samigdash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore you don't use a Keren Shofara, you don't use a horn of an eagle, because Ein Kategor, Nasas an Eagle. All of these indicators demonstrate the inherent link between shofar and tefillah, the kiyum shevalev of this mitzvah. And as Soloveitchik pointed out, perhaps all of this is derived from the pasuk of Zichron Shuah. Yom Shuah emphasizes the maisa mitzvah, that the kiyum mitzvah is one which is belayv, and that, the substance, the impression, the effect, the impact of shofar, that is the significance of Zichron Shuah. So therefore the two psukim, not one b'chol, one b'shabbos, but rather two elements of the mitzvah tkiya shofar. Therefore, kavanas halev is so critical. What exactly then is the significance of shofar? What in fact is its mindset? And here you find an apparent split, that on the one hand, tkiya shofar is supposed to be a reflection, an indicator of simcha. Isn't that clear when you see the psukim of shofaros? That shofar represents gilui shchina, uviyom simchaschem, uvamoadechem, teka b'shofar gadol achiraseinu. The call of the shofar is supposed to be that which we associate with hashkochas Hashem, gilui shchina, an immense sense of simcha. And yet at the same time, the Gemara quotes in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel, Yom Shri Elohim is Yom Yevava Yehilachon, a day of crying. And as the Gemara writes, that a person will cry in one of two ways, Gnuchinat, Gonach, moaning, Yulul Yalil, shorter spurts of cries, and that is the Shvarim and the Teruah. So at once that Utikatem, the Tkiya, is supposed to be reminiscent of Simcha, and at the other hand, the Shvarim and Teruah, Yom Yevavi Elochon, that represents a person who breaks down in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will engage in Bechiya. And therefore, Tkiya Shofar is supposed to represent these two qualities of the mitzvah, of the Kedusha Sayyam of Rosh Hashanah. And that is on the one hand, Simcha, and on the other hand, a time of Yom Yevavi Elochon. And isn't this true not only of Tkiya Shofar, but the essence of Rosh Hashanah itself? If a person were to ask you that in essence, what is Rosh Hashanah? Is it a great day of Simcha? Is it a day of awe and trepidation? You know, the answer is, isn't it a confluence of both? On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah has no doubt elements of Simcha. Doesn't the Mishnah tell us, Rachmana Litzlan, a person is an Avel? And all of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah begins. Rosh Hashanah is Soser, it cancels Avelus. Tosus explains, Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelus, only Yantif. Why? Because Yantif has a mitzvah of Simcha that is not present on Shabbos. Avelos and Simcha cannot coexist, and yet Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur will sever Avelos because of the Simcha element that it contains. So on the one hand there is Simcha, on the other hand the Gemara is troubled, Erech and Daf Yud. Why is it that you don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? The Gemara answers, after all, this is a Yom Hadin. Is it really appropriate to recite Hallel? You know, you take a step back, why don't we recite Hallel? Maybe the Gemara should ask, why should we recite Hallel? Why would you think that it's appropriate that you have to answer, doesn't the Ramban write, the very beginning of Sefer Mitzvos, that Hallel and Simcha go hand in hand? The Bahag writes, Hallel is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Where do you see a pasuk of Hallel min ha-Torah? The Ramban writes, because there's a mitzvah of Simcha. And Hallel in Simcha always will go together. So is there a mitzvah of Simcha when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Apparently, as the Rambam strongly implies, and there are Gvalot of the center for a Gimlet of Hanukkah, then absolutely yes. There is a mitzvah min ha-Torah of Simcha, even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And therefore the Gemara is troubled. What happened to Hallel? The Gemara mentions that it's so sir, Avelus, because there is an element of Simcha. Sifrei Chel Meisim Suchem Lefanai, the Rambam Sodirofi writes that Einom Yimei Simcha Yisera. Rosh Hashanah is not a time of abundant joy. It's tempered Simcha. It's balanced. On the one hand, Simcha. On the other hand, Yimei Hadin. The Mechaber begins Ochos Kriya Shema, but Ochos Rosh Hashanah Ochlin Shosim Usmechim. The aim is anin Rosh Hashanah. A person has to eat, a person has to drink. You don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is considered to be a day of Simcha. And yet, it is a Yom Hadin. The Rosh in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah Perek Dalid quotes the fascinating Yerushalmi. We recite each Shabbos. Umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. We are a unique people. The Yerushalmi writes, give me an example. Point to our uniqueness. And you know what the answer to Yerushalmi is? Exactly this point. Simcha b'din. The fact that we celebrate a Yom HaDin. That's the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael. Other nations, right, it's a time of arraignment, a time of judgment, a time of sentencing, you know. This is a time of Avelus. And for us, a Yom HaDin is a day of Simcha. As the Rosh writes, we don't wear big day Avelos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but rather we exhibit the sense of Simcha. And the Rosh is troubled that why exactly is that? Not Simcha on a time of Din? And the answer the Rosh writes is as follows. Do you know whether or not Rosh Hashanah is a great day of Simcha, or whether it is not, whether Din evokes trepidation, fear, or Simcha, doesn't that depend on the judge who is judging this particular case? If one is summoned before a judge, who will allow a person to begin anew and will invoke a Midas HaRachamim, so that day of judgment is an opportunity, not simply a time of trepidation. And if that is true, an opportunity for redirection, to be bifnei Hashem, isn't that the essence of Simcha? V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. The Rosh exactly writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ose nisim umate es dinam lakav schus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will evoke a midas harachamim. And even if we're not fully deserving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us mechilas lichu kapara, that opportunity evokes an intense sense of Simcha. And therefore we begin Rosh Hashanah, we begin Yom Kippur with a bracha of Shechianu. The Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, Shechianu is only when there is a mitzvah sheyesh bo Simcha. Shechianu means the time of Simcha. Our minhag based on Tosfos wouldn't recite Shechianu bris, because Tzar Viruka, because there's an element of pain, and yet we recite Shechianu on Yom Hadin, we recite Shechianu on Yom Kippur. How is that possible? Because that is the ultimate Simcha. The Simcha of the Samachda, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur, we assume on Rosh Hashanah as well, of Tosefes. We're obligated to begin the Yantif early. Quite unusual. You would think, you know, a day of sentencing comes, let's try to push off that experience. So now, and yet the Torah tells us we're obligated to usher in the Kedushas Hayom at an earlier time than otherwise it would, in fact, arrive. For us, it's no contradiction at all to have a brach of Shachianu, to have a mitzvah tosefes during this particular time, because after all, right, that is our opportunity, an opportunity of tshuva. You know, imagine the business world. I would say to you as follows: did you ever invest poorly? Did you ever have real charata that, you know, I shouldn't have taken all those funds and invested in this sour deal? So you know what? If you will exhibit charata, so you know what? That's it, right? Everything will be replenished. No, the deal will be reversed. No, most people would grab such an opportunity. You know, business, okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that's true when it comes to mitzvos and averos. A pesach, a charata, a person simply is mischaret. If what he did, right, is something that he really should not have done, zdonos nasek is a chiyus. That's an amazing koach of tshuva. Now, it doesn't work in the business world, but this is what works when it comes to the real world. Right, of mitzvos and averos, a pesach, a charata. Isn't that the essence of kol nidre? Now, you know, Kol Nidre occupies such an important part of our liturgy. And if you wouldn't know the meaning of the words, and I were to ask you, what is Kol Nidre all about? You'd probably tell me something lofty, such as Malchias, Echonos, and Shofros. And then you read the translation of Kol Nidre. No, it's a technical Hataras Nedarim. Now, in case you made a neder and you weren't aware of it, you know what? That this is something which is about the Lord. It's a Masimro Samoda. That if I ever make a neder in the future, why do you begin Yom Kippur with a sense of a Kol Nidre? It's almost, right, Rachman, this is what Kol Nidre is. Just a technical form of a Hataras Nedarim, but the answer apparently is no. What is true of Hataras Nedarim is true of life. And that is, a person makes a neder, and he breaches that neder, you know, all is not lost. The Torah recognizes Pesach, Charata, a Shelas Chacham. You can go before a Chacham and say, you know, I really didn't intend to do so. And all of a sudden, the Chacham is Oker es haneder me'ikara, what was an Avera, is no longer an Avera. The neder that was binding is no longer binding that individual. And that is Nekar Limafreya. It's as though that the neder was never in place. This isn't just technical Hataras Nedarim, but this is the essence of Tshuva. That literally a person can rewrite history. And therefore, this is an awesome responsibility, but it's a gift. A gift of tshuva. And therefore tshuva evokes an immense sense of simcha when one is given such an opportunity. How can one demonstrate avelus nayom hadin when you really understand the precious gift of tshuva and that opportunity? Of dirsho Hashem yitzam yimatzel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awaiting even a more minimal response? With the midas hachesed, not only with the midas hadin. And in such a case, that's why the Yom Hadin evokes this wondrous sense of simcha. And it's not a contradiction at all that one will experience simcha and ochlim v'shosim and wear begadim chashuvim, even though that this is considered to be a time of judgment. The Rosh writes that it was machlokes throughout our history. What is the nusach of Kiddush? What is the nusach of davening when it comes to Rosh Hashanah? And the yeshivas of Surim Pampadisa used to recite Moadim L'Simcha Chagim Uzmayim L'Sason on Rosh Hashanah. Moadim L'Simcha. This is a great moment of overt Simcha. And Rav Haigo instituted, no, Simcha, to mention so overtly, Simcha, it's like Hallel. We don't recite Hallel overtly. And therefore our practice with Dvarcha Emes V'Kayam La'ad. But nonetheless, undeniably, the element of simcha that applies even to a Yom HaDin as well. And that, no doubt, is the essence of the Kedusha Sayyom, that tension. You have to blow a tkia, which is reminiscent of simcha, but also the shvarim and shrua of Yom Yavav Yehilachom. But as you know, you can never blow a shvarim and shrua independently. There are moments, no doubt, of Yom Yevav Yehilachon, but it always has to be surrounded. You always have to bookend the Shvarim and Shrua by the Simcha Lefaneha, the Simcha Lachareha, because that balance, that understanding, that is something which is critical. The Tekiyos are going to conclude with the Tekiyah Gedola, Tekah B'Shofar Godol Echeruseinu, with that realization that ultimately these are great, great days of Simcha. This is the opportunity that we have during the Yemei HaSlichos and during the time of Yom Noraim, days of Ritzui, days of Rachamim, days of Mechila, and therefore it's something we anticipate with the Brach of Shechiyanu and a mitzvah of Tosefes as well. The Gemara writes in Kedushin Daf Mem that, you know, a person should always see himself as though there is perfect, perfect balance and equilibrium. But if I had to tally mitzvos versus averos, you know, there's a tug of war and we're kind of stalemated. Now, everything is being held in balance. And the next decision, the next move, that is going to tip the scale. L'kaf chova or l'kaf schus. And the Gemara writes, fascinating that this is not only true of you individually, but this is kind of true globally. And that is the world, right? There's in perfect balance. There's perfect symmetry, perfect equilibrium. Mitzvos, averos, and you know what? Your next decision of that call to tshuva, that will result in the entire world, right, being judged l'kaf schus. And Rachmana Litzlan, the next avera, will tilt the scale l'kaf chova. It's an amazing responsibility in that very literal sense that we bear the weight of the world on our shoulders, because after all, the next personal decision, if anyone would think that, you know, what I do doesn't matter, you know, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem, the simple decision that one will now make, right, that is something that impacts globally. You know, it's such a fascinating concept that each individual impacts in a real sense of Bishvili Nivra Olam. Where do you find that this is true? Is there any indicator in the Psukim that this in fact is the case? You know, the Pesach Shabbos and Parashas Nitzavim, right, we discussed the Brachos and Klolos, Tosus writes in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Mabeis that it's a Takanas Ezra, that you have to lay in these Parshios before Rosh Hashanah. It's not coincidental at all. You have to read Parashas Nitzavim, the Shabbos immediately before Rosh Hashanah, and the Shabbos before that to read Parshas Kisavon. That was a separate takana. We kind of think it's just Parshas HaShavuah, but certainly not. This was a separate takana Ezra. Tosus asked the very simple kasha that was raised in Shalom based Midrash Shor Rabbeinu Nissim, that, you know, this year Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, but if that would not be the case, and you would have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, you would have to have two Parshios that you lay after Rosh Hashanah before Sukkot. So you would have to divide either Matos and Maseh, or you'd have to divide Nitzavim and Vayelech. So Tosus writes, you know, I have a good idea. Matos and Maseh are very long. Let's divide those parshios. Nitzavim and Vayelech are very short. Let's combine those parshios. And we do the opposite. We combine Matos and Maseh, right? And we split Nitzavim and Vayelech. This year, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, we have to lay Nitzavim Ve'elech together as well as we did. But otherwise, we would split the short parshios and we would combine the long parshios. Why in the world do we do so? So Tosfos stands for simple, because there's a Takanas Ezra that you have to lay Parshas Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. If you were to split Matos and Maseh, you would combine Nitzavim Ve'elech, so therefore Nitzavim Ve'elech would be combined for Shabbos Shu. That's too late. No, Nitzavim has to precede Rosh Hashanah, preceded by Parshas Kisavah. This is all part of our Takanas Ezra. And therefore, that call of Brachos and Klolos, of the Shavtar Hashem Elokecha, Uvacharta Vachayim, that has to set the stage for the Yemei Hadin. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have simply told us, Uvacharta Vachayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have told us that, yes, there's a mitzvah of tshuva. You know, you can choose Bracha, you could choose Klala, but the ceremony of Har Grizim and Har Yizil is so dramatic. No? Here you have Har Grizim and Har Evo. All of Knesset Yisrael, the Shifteka, are divided into two camps, half on one side and half on the other, half on Har Grizim and half on Har Evo, as though all of Klal Yisrael is in balance and equilibrium, stalemate. No? Brachos and Klolos, all of Knesset Yisrael are divided and there's an absolute tug of war, and right now that conflict is not resolved. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to you individually and tells you, your decision, right, is going to tip the entire scale of all of the Shifteka, all of Har Griz and Har Evel. You read Har Griz, what is the resolution? The answer is, you know, it's hanging, because you have to decide whether in fact uvacharta v'chaim, whether you're going to choose, right, that derech ha'chaim. That simply is the source of that Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem, that the entire world is in that sense of balance, and therefore, right, the decision is up to you. And therefore, it's not coincidental at all that we know that there's a principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bo Zeh, that I have to take responsibility, not maybe for myself, but for others as well. There's a concept of Arvos. And where is Arvos derived? What is its source? The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel, this, here's brachos of our gris maravo, anistoras mashem elokeinu, that, you know, this tochacha, lo itchem levadchem, this is not only for you, this is something that will bind all of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore your responsibility individually will be felt, right, throughout the entire world, and arvos is derived from these brachos and klalos. That's what the Gemara writes in the Gondaf Lamed Aleph, that these brachos and klalos are rendered in the singular, Lashon Yachid, because it refers to all of Knesset Yisrael literally as a guf echad, as a single whole. And therefore, yeah, this is Kriyas HaTorah, right before Rosh Hashanah. The brachos and klalos, the call to tshuva, the karta, the chayim, the concept of arvos. And therefore, we're going to combine long parshios and split up very short parshios to make sure that before Rosh Hashanah we will lane Parshas Nitzavim. And in this sense, the opportunity, right, that we have at this moment, that evokes an amazing sense of simcha. You know, this is always how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im kebanim im kavadim avinu malkeinu, relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, as an av and as a melech. You know, there's a difference between an av and a melech, no? A melech, no doubt, is able. A melech is capable. A melech, in principle, can do much. But, you know, a melech is not always willing. Not always willing to do for me. And an av is quite the opposite, no? An av is always willing, right, to do for his children. But, you know, an av is not always capable of doing that which is necessary. You know, you have to be willing and able. Now, you have to be empowered, but also there has to be that type of desire. And one could envision that the melech is able to. He could make life much easier for his subjects, but not always willing to do so. And a father would like nothing more, but a father is not always empowered. And that's why we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that dual reference of Avinu Malkeinu. In the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, omniscient. And therefore, that is how we appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with that sense of Emidas HaRachamim. And therefore, these are days, no doubt, we don't minimize the call to tshuva, but we realize it invokes immense and intense simcha. That we recognize our privilege as being avodim and also being banim, for us to be a ben and evet is not a contradiction at all. And that is how we appeal to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not merely individually, but collectively, with that sense of arvos. You know, I often mention that Tosus and Menachos, as you know, and Daf Lamed Zayin, where Tosus writes that a very difficult din Torah was before Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech had to try to resolve the following difficulty, that the father had died, and there were children that came, they wanted to divide up, right, their father's estate. And all of a sudden, one of the brothers walked in, Tosfos writes, a Siamese twin. Right? One body, two heads. And Shlomo HaMelech had to decide, what exactly is his nachla? He claimed that he was two individuals, so he's entitled to Pishnayim, and of course his brothers claim, no, you're one brother, and therefore you're only entitled to a single chalek. So Tosfos writes is a difficult din Torah, right? In order to determine whether that type of being is one individual, or whether it's considered to be guf echad. After deliberation, Tosfos writes, Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin, that Shlomo HaMelech decided he's only entitled to a single portion, he's only considered to be a single guf. That's what Tosfos writes. Tosfos doesn't clue us in on how Shlomo HaMelech knew that. After all, it's not so obvious. How do you know whether that's true? So if you look in the Daf in Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin, on the bottom there's the Shita Mekubetzes. So Shita Mekubetzes writes the following. It wasn't that there was an obvious pasuk, an obvious source that Shlomo HaMelech had. He had to do an empirical test. So Shlomo did the following, that he took a sack and he placed it over the head, right? One head of that individual, that's Siamese twin, and he took a little bit of hot water and he poured it on the other head. And Tulsa Sar Shlomo took a step back and seed whether the covered head would respond. And sure enough, the covered head cried out in momentary pain. So Shlomo Paskin the Guf Echad. That's Nidakeh. They're considered to be one body, one guf, one entity. If one is able to cry out with the pain of others, or one is able to celebrate with the simcha of another, that Tosus writes, that's an indicator of Guf Echad. All of Knesset Yisrael, the Ritz writes, Roshan Dav Chavtes. Arvus means everyone is considered to be, in a very literal sense, Guf Echad. The Mashal of the Yerushalmi, if a person is hammering and his right hand by mistake hammers his left hand and misses the nail, would a person think that the left hand should pick up the hammer and hit the right hand back? If this is all Guf Echad, the pain is felt throughout the entire body. And that is the measure in which Knesset Yisrael is treated as Guf Echad, or whether they're treated as Shnei Gufim. Part of the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is not merely an individual chiyuv, but the entire concept of the Tkiya Shofar of Seder HaBrachos, of the Tfilas HaTzibur, indicates exactly that notion, that this is a mitzvah that is collectively fulfilled by the entire tzibur. When we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Koach HaTshuva, we don't do so as individuals, but we're armed as being part of the Am HaNichbar. And the Kaparas HaTzibur, that is critical. And Yom Kippur, not vidui merely in the silent Shmon Esrei, but a repetition of vidui in Chazaras HaShatz, like collectively, because it is through the Koach HaTzibur that we are able to attain that sense of Ritzui, to the extent that Rebbe argues that Yom Kippur is Mechaper, even La'inan Shavim. Even if a person doesn't do tshuva, but simply, right, he is carried away on the coattails of the Kedusha Sayom and others, even though we don't paskin exactly as Rebbe Shita, but nonetheless, the Kapara Satzibur is something which is undeniable. Right? This is all part of Zichron Tshuva. Yom Tshuva tells us that there's a mitzvah to sound and to hear the kolos. Is that necessary? Absolutely. Is it sufficient? Absolutely not. It has to evoke, right, the real sense of zikaron, of awareness. What is it that we're hearing when it comes to the kolos of the shofar for the Gur Yeshenim, Mishenaskem? And that has to be accompanied by simcha and mora, celebration and trepidation, the uniqueness of this experience of Yimei HaDin, of Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo, but the gift of tshuva of Zadonos Nase Kizuchuyos, and the realization, the comfort that we don't go at it alone, but we're part of the tzibur, but the responsibility of the weight of the world, in a very literal sense, is on our shoulders, of Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Right. This is the context of the slichos, the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, which is so evident of the Kedusha Siyam of Rosh Hashanah. Is this a day of simcha? Is it a day of awe and reverence and trepidation? And the answer undeniably is both. You have to have the confluence of the Tkiya together with the Shvarim and Shrua in order to highlight, to emphasize both aspects of Yimei HaDin. And Ezra Hashem, we should be Zoche, as the Gemara writes, the Kriya Satochach indicates the bracha of Shetifla Shana Vekiloseh Tachol Shana Vekiloseh, that we just laned all of the kolos in Parshas Kisavah, and the continuation of the Sakana says in Parshas Nitzavim, with that bracha that kolos should come to an end, and that the ensuing years should only be one of the Shnas Chaim V'Shalom.
Right after you give the